What's up, world? This is your man, Nick Eden, and I am here with the talk of the town.
I know you're going to dig this.
Here with the talk of the town.
Take you to the Hotel Martinet in Brooklyn, where Bobby Millett and his orchestra are offering a program of dance music.
Thursday, July 18th, 2013. This is the Middleman on Talk of the Town. It's your boy, Al.
It's Kevin. What's wrong, man? Sound like you out of the day, man.
Yep. It's very hot today. Very hot.
Man. Tell me about it, homeboy. It's one of those courses, man. It's summertime, man. You know what time it is, man. But you know, a lot of young ladies out here wearing real short shorts. Mm-hmm. I ain't looking, but they just wearing short shorts.
So if you wasn't looking, how do you know that they were wearing short shorts?
I mean, it's a difference between glancing and looking.
So you was using your peripherals?
Yeah, I you know what I'm saying. I rolled by and I saw that and I was like, okay, and I kept it moving.
Uh-huh. All right. I heard that there.
Yeah.
Using the peripherals.
Yeah, man.
Hey.
Shout out to our man Trooper the Dunn out there listening live, man. Appreciate you, homie.
Trooper the Dunn.
Yes, sir. Legend.
Ah,
PTA legend,
heard
baby.
Him. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
What's up?
PTA legend, baby.
Right.
Man,
what's up?
I tell you, man, the entertainment is getting crazy. Let's talk. Man, I'm going to tell you something. What's up with your boy Kanye West, man? And you asked me a question a couple of shows back. Did I get the chance to listen to the album? Yes, I did. I can't even say it's gonna take a second to grow on me, man. It's mostly like I'm really not knowing where he was going with that. I mean, I can see some of the angles that he was using with the records and some of the things he was trying to express in that album. But when it came down to it, my man, I'm like, what in the world was going on when he was doing this CD? Was it a drug-induced type situation? Was he in the studio high? You know what I'm saying? What was going on with him? Do he even drink or smoke?
I don't know. I mean, I think he probably would drink some, but I mean, I don't know if he smoked or anything like that. I don't know. I think Kanye, man, he just, I don't know, man. I really want to see what type of books he'd be reading and what type of alternative music he listened to as well to get his inspiration, because he got to be pulling this from somewhere. I mean, it ain't falling from the sky.
It may be, man. You know what I'm saying? It just, I guess he feel like that's the zone he need to be in with his music at the moment, man. But I'm trying to understand what was the principle of what he was doing, man. I'm really not understanding it.
I think,
you know what I'm saying? I mean,
Well, you got to think. People felt the same way when he did the 808s and Heartbreaks. Like, what the hell Kanye was thinking?
Dude, this sounds like straight 8-bit video game music, man. I mean, it sounds like he stole something off Nintendo.
Yeah,
I'm not tripping on it. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is, but. And then, you know, a lot going on with that, brother, man, because it kind of falls into the topic of what we're talking about today. You know what I'm saying? The silent voices. At one time, we can look at Kanye to be a voice in hip-hop, a voice of our people. You know what I'm saying? When you heard College Dropout, man, you was like, oh, my God. You know what I'm saying? This dude's speaking some deep lyrics. This dude is talking about some things that, you know, we all can relate to. Even like late, great Tupac, man, he spoke about things that we can relate to.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But I look at Kanye West now, man, and he fighting the paparazzi, telling us don't speak again. Hitting his head against signs. I mean, what did they do to him?
I don't know, man. I think Kanye is on like his effort mode right now. So
yeah.
I don't know. So I can't say. Now one person I do like J. Cole album.
Okay.
I really do like his album. He does have some interesting storylines and topics. So we'll commend him on that. I haven't had a chance to listen to Mac Miller. That's the only album that I don't have yet that came out the same day. So I haven't had a chance to listen to Mac Miller. I mean, I've heard people say that it's pretty dope, but, you know, if you like Mac Miller, you'll probably like this, but I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet. So
Mac Miller seemed like a toned-down version of Machine Gun Kelly.
Yeah. I try to get everybody the benefit of the doubt, so I listen to everybody's music. Stuff like that, so you know, because I like to listen to music, so just to see where people are coming from. So that's why I look on Worldstar every day, just try to find some new artist that may be on the come up or may just have some good music in general that I can just go look up more on them about it. So and there are still a lot of talented artists out there that don't get heard. So,
right. But you know what, man? There's one thing about that too, man. For all the people out there that have internet sites, you have ways of, you know, putting people on to new music, man, y'all hit us up, man. We want to try to spread the word for you, man, because, like, right now, it is ultra hard
yes.
to get good music now. I mean, there used to be avenues, Rap City, you know what I'm saying, The Basement with you know what I'm saying, all those different avenues. You got a couple of things out there right now, but truly to find independent music now, man, is damn near impossible.
Yep. Like,
you know,
going to a thrift store,
CD sales are not what they used to be, or I mean, like, everything is, I mean, you got certain sites out there for DJs, but that's not general, that's general public can't get to that.
Right. I have access to it, so. Oh, well, brings us to today's subject. Really?
Yeah.
Silent Voices. That's the title of today's subject. What we're going to be talking about as far as that one-time artist where the heartbeat and the voice of the community, speaking out on all type of issues such as civil, community, social, and promoting education. Now, in recent times, the topics that were important to the office, the artist, in the past, they're rarely talked about and or irrelevant to today's artist. So today we want to discuss the powers that the artists have of today. Have they lost control of their freedom of speech? Why can't artists use the mixtape circuit to promote more powerful forms of their music? And should artists take a stand to speak out on current events that are affecting the community? Should artists break away from major labels and deals to gain more freedom of speech? What are some of the consequences and penalties of speaking your mind in today's music that some of the artists may face? And are artists really role models? So we want to discuss these particular questions. Of course, if you have any questions or comments that you want to discuss, make sure you post them on the chat board if you're on the chat board. If not, you can dial 718-508-9972. The phone lines are open, and we definitely want to get to everyone's comment.
Yeah, matter of fact, man, we got our man Trooper the Don, man. We're going to go ahead and bring him in and see what he got to say, man. Trooper!
Yo,
what's going on, fam?
Shit, what's good, Jack? What's cracking like it?
Nothing much, man. We out here just trying to put some wisdom and put some words out there, man,
right.
So we can discuss what we can do to make this hip-hop game a little bit better for our future.
Right. Well, I hear you. Well, first of all, man, you know what I'm saying? I'm down here in Mississippi by way of west side of Chicago. You know, it's always Chi-Town till it die down. Go Bulls. But anyway, man, one of the most important or vital aspects of the industry is that local artists have to go into this with their eyes wide open and understand that this is called the music business.
Uh-huh.
You understand what I'm saying? It is a business, and when people begin to look at this as a business, then they'll begin to look at themselves as a business. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
My name is Toriano. That is my name. But Trooper the Don is my business. You understand it?
Right.
As far as freedom of speech is concerned, you know, we that's a very broad category. And a lot of what's going on today in the music industry, if you listen at it, and listen at a lot of the music, especially the hip-hop music, that's been removed from its direct connotation as far as its original art form. Even the videos has been watered down. If you pay attention to the videos, the sisters are no longer showing their bottoms, or a lot of the things have stickers on them. If words have any meaning, so
right.
You know, it's like you can only say certain things, and then nowadays certain words are even legal to say, even on TV or telecasting or and so forth and so on. But as far as the locals is concerned, you know, what we have to do is, especially those of us who are in these various states and in these various communities and so forth and so on, we got to learn to embrace some form of unity, artist unity, create a platform where we stay at and pool our resources together and make something big happen. Most artists that I come in contact with are only interested in making noise for themselves. And when you come into the game with a selfish point of view, you're not going to go too far, especially when all of you are geared towards one goal and objective. So you'll find that you'll be able to create a movement if all of you in that locality get together, create a movement. You might want to even create some kind of dialogue regarding, you know, what you can do to make this thing better. Take, for example, New York City.
Right.
So artists in New York City, you know, work with artists in New York City. If you recall DMX. When DMX first came out, you know, I think where he went, like four or five times platinum?
Yeah.
Or more? Mm-hmm. Okay,
he did
that right in New York City, because New York City support New York City. California support California. Florida support Florida. ATL support ATL. In Mississippi, most of the people are doing things, are reacting based on historical issues. In Mississippi, most of the people are poor people. The average rate of income is very low. And so when something major happens, you know, they're not really used to or accustomed to having anything. So what we're doing is most artists here are suffering from an identity crisis.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking on TV and they're paying attention to the way Jay moved, the way Drake moved, the way Wayne moved. And most of their music is beginning to sound just like the artists that are outside of their parameters.
Now,
Trooper,
check this out. You just said something very interesting. They copy what they see and what they know. Now, you and I, we grew up in a time where artists had something to say. Remember Andre, at the end of the Source War, he said the South got something to say.
Right.
A long time ago, you know, you can listen to a record, man, you can hear from a social aspect, a political aspect. You can hear all these different combination of things. Now, like you just stated, they looking at what somebody else doing over here, somebody else doing over there, but they're not bringing them to the record. Why do you think artists don't have, like what's going on in their community? Because, you know, we used to hear artists talk about South Central. We used to be like, man, what's going on in South Central? We put on the tape.
One of the reasons why most artists, especially the local arena, most of them are not speaking about what's actually happening in peer communities. They're talking about what's happening in a community where, say, for example, Lil Wayne derived from. That's because they're not only are they suffering from an identity crisis, but their music is suffering from an identity crisis. If they brought to the attention to the world, for example, what goes on in Mississippi. How many artists do you have out there now putting out records that's talking about Trayvon Martin? Things that are relevant and prevalent that's going on in today's world, nobody's really talking about that.
Right.
And believe this. Now, I'm going to say this. I hope some people in the powers that be don't take it the wrong way. I really don't care. You understand what I'm saying? But a lot of it has to do with record execs. And people are in positions of power to regulate what an artist can say, all the way down to the creative aspects of record production. You know, if I was to get up and say, well, this is just for an example. If Barack Obama. Okay,
right.
Now we got a problem. But if you look at the freedom of speech clause back in the history when the man burnt the American flag, they had a problem with that. So it went to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court ruled it as, you know, it wasn't a problem. It was an act of freedom of speech. Okay, but nowadays, you can't say certain things. And a lot of that has to do with the people that are behind the curtain pulling the strings, regulating the creativity of the artist's production and what the artist can say. And that's bad.
Right.
That's very bad. And that's what makes the music industry now so lukewarm. It's not original.
Uh-huh.
It's not true to its art form no more.
Right.
Because you got people that are behind the curtain pulling the string, actually telling these artists what they can and what they can't say. And that's a problem. I find that to be a big problem. Because rap music is an acronym to me. It means real African people to me.
You heard that right there, Al?
Yep.
I'm telling you, the synopsis was just on point, precise, exact to what it needed to be, man. I mean, the question was asked, and for all those just tuning in, have artists lost their freedom of speech? And like Trooper just, you know, eloquently stated.
Hey, Kevin, I got to get back in the studio because.
Hey, man, we appreciate you for calling in, man. You can download this show, play it for the cast in the studio, man, and let them hear. All right. Appreciate, man. We just dropped his call. I think we just lost his call. But, man, he just made a great statement.
Yeah, he did.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you have anything to add on to that, man? Because, I mean, he basically put it in perspective.
Yeah, I think the you know, we have a lot of younger artists coming up, you know, in the game now, and like he's right, they don't have an identity, and their music is having an identity crisis because they're doing what they feel will make the money and what they feel the clubs will play. And like you'll hear DJs, they'll even say, I have to go and listen to other DJs to see what I need to be playing.
Right.
In the club. I need to listen to what's hot on the radio so I can make sure I keep people on the dance floor. Why is that? Now, if you look at how hip hop started off, you know, they played whatever was hot, like whatever the fans gauged or whatever, you know, they played it. Like, I mean, it could be something brand new, you know, like, and it, like, the content was so much different, you know, and like, you had different areas that had different type of music or whatever, but those people in those particular different areas supported their music,
right?
In general, you know, it wasn't like a blanket, you know, like a blanket covering of everybody listening to the same thing. It wasn't like that, you know. Like I told you the other day, like I went back and I watched the movie Beef Part 1,
right?
And you know that pretty much like broke it down. Like I mean, like every like even over in New York, you know, of course they had their different boroughs and different areas of New York.
Right.
Different people flocked to different artists, and they supported different artists. But they packed the house at all times, you know, independently, you know. But independent artists these days or whatever, I don't know if they're afraid, you know, some may be afraid to actually speak, you know, what they need to speak or speak their mind. You know, some do what they feel that the next person in the car will bump my music instead of actually doing themselves.
Right.
So I see we got another caller that wants to comment. You want to bring him in?
Yeah, this our man Blaze right here out in the ATL, man. He gonna gonna let everybody know what's going on with Nation, man. They got a contest that we want everybody to support out there, man. What's up, Blaze?
KG, what's going on? What's going on?
What's up, man?
Cooling. Hey, before I get into Nation's contest, I do want to kind of chime in on artists in the industry and everything right now, how it is.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they lost their freedom of speech, or do you think they lost their power to speak upon things in our communities and issues that we have?
There's a real big identity crisis right now. And that's one thing, you know, that trips me out. Like, I think I just heard Trooper the Don say, like, you know, back in the days when we was into the NWA, the Snoops and the Jays, when he was first coming out, like they weren't, you know what I'm saying? Like they followed somebody, but they still did it in their own effort.
Right.
I feel like you got so many independent artists now trying to make it so bad just for a short run instead of thinking long term that basically they're willing to do anything to get through the door. You know, you know this whole entire, you know, the Jay-Z, you know, when Jay-Z just dropped his whole entire album or not on Samsung, that was genius.
Yeah.
That was so genius. You think about it, he made $5 million up front, 1 million copies sold, and with platinum. That's a business. That's a businessman. That's not Jay-Z saying, I want to drop a mixtape, I'm going to be hot tomorrow. This him saying, okay, I'm trying to revolutionize something, you know, in the future. And that's one thing a lot of, you know, a lot of independent artists aren't trying to do is just what's going on now. How can I get myself in the club right now? How can I get on the radio right now instead of creating a, you know what I'm saying, creating a movement, for one.
Right.
And if for two, you have a lot of these artists that have been around who aren't really taking time to mold and brand a lot of these good artists. So in other words, excuse my language, but we get up a lot of the bullshit.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like they're not taking time to really say, you know what, you know, I'm gonna help you mold your craft. You know, back in the day, even when I first started, they used to be artist development classes, PR, somebody, they gave you the whole rundown to make sure you sounded intelligent, looked appropriate, you know what I'm saying? Like you just didn't sit there rambling, you know, like some blundering idiot. Now, and it's to the point now where music is hip hop has kind of left the African American culture and is now being ran by white people and Jews.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
I mean, and that's really what it is. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, basically now you have, it's kind of like, you know, to get in right now, you got to do a song and a dance to get in, or either you can stay consistent and stay strong minded to what you're doing and build your brand, and you can still maintain your own lane where you're able to negotiate you a deal and not just take what they give you. That's the
exact
reason why, you know, you have artists who come and go so quick. I was just telling my girl last night, y'all not notice how quick Trinidad James came and left?
I'm just like, you know, that is the norm now. You know, like, you'll see a guy for a second hot as far as, like, radio, TV for a minute, then they have to put him out because, number one, the main thing that they did not build was a fan base.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times with that fan base, man, you got to be talking about something relatable. I don't even understand the whole concept of putting out a whole album that I can't relate to. I can't relate to you talk about you getting doped up all night. That ain't what I do.
Yeah,
laughing
exactly.
To the variety of
exactly.
Talking about different things. You know, and I'm not knocking
exactly.
Anybody. If that's your thing, that's your thing. But you know what I'm saying? You got more to talk about than just that. As Trooper was stating, as far as even dealing with Trayvon Martin, Young Jeezy, as you probably know, just put out a record dedicated to Trayvon Martin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not mad that he did that by any means. But at the same time, why wait to after the fact to put this out?
There you go.
Yeah, when it first started.
There you go.
My question is why? I mean, of course, Jesus ain't got nothing really on TV or on the radio right now. But I'll take that back because he did have that RIP. But I ain't with that. But why now, though? You know what? Like, what's your purpose behind that? Like, are you really like feeling
a
promotion for the family, or are you trying to make money?
Yeah,
promotion, and trying to stay relevant, just so he can continue to go do shows, go get his $100,000, and not really give back to the community, or not really give to Trayvon Martin's family. I guarantee he can go do a show this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, make I don't know a cool $300,000, and ain't gonna contribute not one dime.
Nothing.
So you know what I'm saying? It's just you know what I mean. Like, and then, granted, I love music. I'm in the music industry, but the way I view it, the way I handle, you know, artists I work with like Nation, I got a home with Ryan B. You know, I got different people I work with. I'm like, you know, you got to stand for more than just okay. I'm trying to get in the club. I'm trying to have a song on Hot 107.9. No, you're trying to build a career where you can open up doors for other people who may need jobs. Who got this? You know, I mean, come on, you got to be able to build a brand. And music just lost its identity. Just that everybody's hopping on everybody nuts. Excuse my language. Just to get in.
Pimp C said it before he died, man. We going to lose it, and it's going to be gone. Somebody else going to control it. The same way what happened to rock and roll, same way what happened to blues, the same thing that happened to jazz. We going to lose it. Now, we going to kind of shift gears off of that right there, and I'm glad we got you on the phone, Blaze, man. You're welcome to sit around and chill with us, you know, on the phone, man, if you want to. Let's go into this part right here, because Al, I think this is one of the most important things. We did talk about the way that these guys put themselves in a position where, okay, if I had the opportunity to put out more records like this, I would do it. You know what I'm saying? We talked about that offline. But the question is, why can't artists use the mixtape circuit to promote more powerful forms of their music? And what we mean by more powerful forms of their music, things that can mold and shape the minds of these kids beyond, I'm about to
not
go
the bull crap.
This gun, I'm about to go get this dope, you know what I'm saying, I'm about to go, you know what I'm saying, do something stupid, you know what I'm saying, why don't they use their mixtapes to promote that form of their music, because you know you can't do it with the labels.
No.
Y'all know what the labels are doing.
Everything is going to have to be approved, and 9 times out of 10, what they're going to do, but they're not going to approve it. Like, I need a radio hit. I need a commercial hit. I need a club song. I need a song for the chicks. You know, that's what they're going to shoot for you to get, because if you go back and look at the last past, maybe, what, five to seven years or whatever, well, really longer than that, you can gauge on the album, like, if you were to go and buy somebody's album, you can gauge on the album which songs will be their singles.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And, you know, back in the day, like, I listened, like, the other day, I listened to EPMD Strictly Business album. All of those songs on that album could have been a single, in my opinion. You know what I'm saying? That's just my opinion. But see, now you can...
guys that recently have done that, but the records are not like... They were design records, and that's Rick Ross and what's his name? Ludacris. As we all know, Ludacris was a radio guy. And something going on with Rick Ross as far as, man, I don't know what that is, but that boy know how to pick records.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But majority of the stuff that he did is that form. But when you hear these guys' mixtapes, man, I'm like, dude, they dropped 4 or 5 mixtapes in 5 months span.
Yeah. Now, a label that I have so much respect for, which they do have an artist on a label that is signed to a major label, I respect TDE, Top Dollar Entertainment, out there in Cali. They have some good artists on that label that can really spit, and they have conscious awareness type music.
Right.
I mean, Ab Soul is murking people right now. Schoolboy Q is, man, murking people. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, J-Rock came out or whatever, but, you know, J-Rock dope too. You know what
I'm
saying?
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about real stuff, not no bull crap. You know what I'm saying? Even like their songs in which they will actually play, I guess you would say, in a club form. If you listen to the content, they put knowledge in your brain.
That's the content factor of it. You know, when will we be able to see and expect more content from these artists? And I think right now, man, we got our good friend Charlie Braxton. We're going to go ahead and bring him in. Blaze, I'm going to put you on hold for a minute. I'm going to bring you back, all right?
No problem.
All right. Charlie.
I was listening to you talk about Rick Ross, and I wanted to bring up some things that you probably may be aware of somewhere in the back of your mind, you may not. But keep in mind that Rick Ross is a veteran in this music business. He didn't pop up after with Hustling. I mean, he started out working with Tony Draper, and he was on Tony Draper's label, Suave House, back in the day. You know, in addition to that, he did a lot of ghostwriting for
Trina,
Slip and Slide, and Trina, and things of that nature. So when you're a ghostwriter, what you have to do is you learn to craft records for the particular artist that you're dealing with. So in addition to doing that, Ross has lived in Texas. He's lived in Florida. He's from Mississippi.
Right.
People don't know that. You know, he doesn't emphasize that enough for me personally, but he's from Mississippi.
Over in the Delta.
And, pardon?
No, he ain't
over
from
the Delta.
He's from south, like, close to Meridian.
No, I thought he was from the Delta. He's
from
Clarksdale.
Yeah, he's from the Delta.
What am I talking about? My bad.
Yeah, he's from the Delta. He's from the Delta. Yeah. So I'm saying to you, having lived in Texas, where they make really good music, I love Texas music, living in Florida, And then having worked around people like Tony Draper, worked around, you know, Slip and Slide, A&R, but you worked closely with A&R people when you were a ghostwriter. You worked closely with producers. You learn how to craft songs. You learn how to pick records. My problem with Rick Ross is there's not enough social commentary in his music. That's my problem.
Thank you.
I think he makes good music. Don't get me wrong. I mean, he makes good music. It's pleasing to the ear. But when you start analyzing what it is he's saying, there's not a lot of social commentary there.
No, whatsoever.
And
it's not a lot of different topics either.
Exactly.
It's pretty much the same
thing. I remember telling his publicist, she probably don't want me to put her name out there, so I won't. But I remember telling his pardon.
No. I'm just saying, that's fine. Go ahead.
I remember after, because she wanted me to hear Port of Miami, because I was telling her, you know, I said, I just saw him hustling, but she kept saying, you know, you got to hear the record. So after I heard the record, she was anxious to hear what I had to say, and I suspect Rick wanted to hear what I got to say, because I know how artists generally talk through their publicists. And I said, you know, it's a good record, it sounds good, but here's the problem. There's no social commentary, and then on top, I don't know anything about Rick Ross listening to that record. I know nothing about him personally or his struggle personally. I don't know why his persona is out there selling records. I mean, selling dope like he is. I don't know how he feels about it. I know nothing. I said, now, if I put on a record with Scarface, I know a lot about Scarface. I know he's a manic depressive. He doesn't run from that. He'll tell you on the record. I know that he doesn't necessarily condone gangsterism. It's a way of life that he's trying to get out, and he's constantly struggling with that. I know that there's an inner turmoil between his moral character and the character that he has to play to survive in the streets.
Okay, Charlie, let me ask you this right here, man. This is falling right in line with everything that we're talking about tonight. Should artists take a stand and speak out on current events that affects the community? Because, I mean, we just spoke about, you know what I'm saying, them losing their power, their freedom of speech, and not using their other modes of putting music out to have, you know, more powerful records out there. But should they take a stand and be like, hey, man, I'm not talking about what you want me to talk about no more. This is what I want to talk about.
Listen, Amir Baraka, who has a book on the name Leroy Jones, Amiri Baraka has a book called Blues People, and in that book he says that you can always tell what's going on in the black community by simply listening to their music. Because the music always reflects the time. Now, organic black music that comes from the black community is going to speak about a variety of things. It's going to speak about life. It's not just going to stick to one topic. It's not going to be all about, oh, baby, I want to have sex with you. Oh, baby, let's get in the bed. Oh, I'm selling dope every day. Or it's going to talk about life, the totality of life. So to answer your question, yes, I feel my personal feeling, my personal preference is that I like artists who have something to say, some type of social commentary. It doesn't necessarily have to be as hard as TE or the crew, or any, but it has to say something. I mean, to me,
so that you're paying attention at least.
Exactly, that you understand what's going on in society, and that you understand the conditions under which your people are being placed. It's not, you know, you can tell me how much you sell at some point in time. You got to stop selling dope.
That's true. Jay-Z,
you know,
it looks crazy,
time,
but Jay-Z still talk about dope, you know? Like, dude, you got whole sales like Master P.
Exactly. And here's somebody that I know and I've had conversations with. Like, if you listen to The Last Dawn, or if you listen to I Really Miss My Homie, you know, those were songs, okay, these are the consequences of living in the street.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to me, who was really, really, really good at that was UGK.
Oh,
one day you hear, the next day you don't.
Exactly.
Yeah. That whole Riding Dirty album was a ode to living the way you want to live and the consequences of living
and
like that.
And the consequences of that. And that, to me, is what's missing, because you've got 15, 12-year-old kids listening to rap. It's not like it was when we were coming up.
Right.
You know,
right.
You got the kids are getting younger and younger. They're getting less and less informed about what's going on in the real world. A lot of kids, you know, if you listen to rap music, you think you can get away with going selling drugs, and you never go to prison. I've yet to hear a record about prison, what prison life is really like.
For all those that don't know who we got on the line with us right now, historian, hip-hop historian, journalist, playwright, poet, this is Charlie Braxton. If y'all ever heard about anything from The Source, man, any magazines from back in the day, this is him. So this is a very credible source right here that's trying to tell you guys you need to wake up and use your voice. That's why you rap. That's why you touch the microphone. That is your purpose of speaking on that thing instead of talking
right.
about a whole lot of nothing. So, you
right,
know, you
yeah.
can choose it if you want to. That's on you.
Now,
Charlie,
I
want to ask this question right here, and this is for everybody.
Okay.
If you want to get in this conversation, you can dial 718-508-9972. The phone lines are open. We're definitely going to get back with our man Blaze before the show is over, period, because we definitely want to get with his situation with Nation and the things they're doing for the kids. But, Charlie,
mm-hmm.
should artists break away from these major labels and deals to gain more freedom of speech? Should they
Most
get away from them so they can
I'm a strong advocate of independence.
In.
I'm a strong advocate of independence because at this point, with the advent of the internet, with the advent of you being able to directly sell music to your audience, there's
mm-hmm.
really, if you've got a good hustle game about you and a marketing game about you, the only thing you really need the majors for is access to maybe a mainstream radio or a mainstream video, but I've seen independent artists break through with that. I've
yeah.
seen them
yeah.
do it.
You
think
they're the prime example, even though they were signed, they didn't have a lot of radio play, they didn't have a lot of that promotion and things like that, and they still, man, I think them, MJG and 8-Ball, a lot of these artists, man, they could have actually went independent, even though they started their own labels after the fact. They still should have used that momentum and made more things and did the records that they want to do, which 8-Ball and MJG
right.
did, and Pimp C
right.
and 8-Ball. I mean, Pimp C and Bun B.
And the thing with those, you know, those type of groups, they made good music, good quality music. Like, you have some people who have, like, a good independent grind, but when they get to the point of where they are at that mainstream level and, you know, people want more, it's like, the, you know, they fall off the gas pedal. You
well,
know,
let's look
it,
at
like
it this way. Let's keep it 100% real, and this is no disrespect to anybody who may be working for a major label, but major labels aren't really good at picking talent and nurturing that talent. In other
sure.
words, finding a gem in the rough or a diamond
mm-hmm.
in the rough or some potential talent and nurturing that talent, they're not good at that. They're not
right.
good at even marketing, because what they do now, and I've said this on Dirty States of America, they do sound scan A&R. What they do is they look at the sound scan. Now what they're doing is looking at blog spots and looking at downloads and see who's got a popular presence on the internet. Then they run and scoop that person up and they put the record out there. It used
yep.
to be, and to show you that they're not really good at marketing, used to be an artist can last at least 5 albums. Nowadays, when you sign with a major label, you're lucky if you get 2.
Yep.
You're lucky if you
yep.
get 2. You're
yep.
here today, you're gone tomorrow. You know, and that's their
be...
model. I've talked to some record executives, and they'll tell you that's the new model. You know, you just
yep.
find the new cat, put him out. If he doesn't work, okay, no problem. And then on
right.
to the next thing.
Right now, what they're looking for is volume
and not quality. And if you want
right.
to get caught up in that grind where they put you out there and you may get a little support for 2 years and then you're on your own, well, fine. But if you want to build a career, if you want to build a solid audience like Tech N9ne has, Calico Chris has, and that whole Strange Music family has, you know, stay independent and grind. It's a hard grind, but in the end, you're responsible for your music. Nobody's telling you what this. Well, we think what's hot right now is for you to wear some shiny pants. Nobody's going to tell you that. It's your label. You own it. You know. So, yes, to answer your question again, yes.
Hey, you got them shiny fans.
What? Nah. I will admit this. Now, back in the day, you know what I'm saying, like, this is through the company Massimo. I don't know if y'all remember that, but I did have a shiny silver coat that was from Massimo.
That's horrible.
So I will admit that. That's a little shameless plug for me. As a matter of fact, I still got the coat. But to me,
if you're an artist and this is what you want to do, I don't have a problem with that. More power to you. That's you. That's who you are.
Right.
You know,
right.
But if you are somebody, and I've seen this a million times, how many people remember the clips?
Yeah, definitely. You know I do.
The clips, when they first came out, were more on the Goody Mob style. They were more of a conscious rap group.
Exactly.
Yep. All of a sudden they started selling dope.
Now, mind you, their first album, Lord Willing, you know, they were trying to inject some social commentary, but the more they got into it, the more they got caught up into the system, or like I like to call it, the Matrix, now they dope boys extraordinaire.
Well,
one of them got a song saying, "This is sounds like God." Oh, man, I was like, what the heck?
I know, man. That hurt me right there, Charlie.
Here's the thing. The Clips no longer are together as a group because one brother became a born-again Christian.
No Malice.
Yeah, he became a born-again Christian. And now you wonder, and I say this to people all the time, I can name a number of people who left the music business, who were stars, who became religious. You wonder what experience they had to make them do that.
Yeah, that's right.
And speaking of, you know, Clips, you know, Charlie, Pusha T would admit, you know, those conscious songs that they had on the album, that was really his brother pushing him to do that. You know, he admitted that on an interview he had with either Power 105 or maybe on Sway in the Morning. But he admitted that. And Malice will tell you, well, No Malice will tell you that as well, too. You know, he was always, you know, thinking about, like, the conscious nature of their lyrics and what they're putting out.
Yeah,
you know,
I remember
some of the things
No
in which.
I'm sorry, I hate to cut you off, but I remember reviewing a record for Murder Dog, Lord Willing, and there was a song on there called Rapper I'm Not You.
Yeah.
I knew it was, because I couldn't, it was hard for me to tell the two of them apart, because they almost virtually like twins, but I knew this was No Malice record, because when he said, yes, it pains me to see them need this, all of them lost souls, and I'm their Jesus. He's talking about standing on the corner selling drugs, and he talked about respect and sympathy to the street. I even see them about drugs when their children didn't have anything to eat. He said, but where there's a demand, someone must supply, so I serve the fiends, but on the inside I cry.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know,
yep.
I mean, that was one of the most powerful lyrics that I, especially during the time when you had people like Rick Ross hustling and Jeezy slanging drugs with no remorse.
Yes.
You know, I remember I say this because I knew Pia. One of the things about having a relationship with rappers is you can tell them when you think they're wrong. You tell them to their face. I remember when I heard Ghetto Dope. P said, what do you think? I said, it's a good record, but one of the most irresponsible things I've ever heard you do. And believe me, brother, you know I said you said some irresponsible. Make Cracked It is one of the most irresponsible records you've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
You know you're going to have to give. You're going to have to pay for that.
Now, Charlie, man, you know, as far as even just with these guys, you know, losing their voices, you know, as far as like their ability to make good records and speak to the general public and become more relatable, and why do you think is so many artists out there now, man, that they just stray away from trying to relate to the general public out here and speak to these issues that affects us all, even them?
Instead of just tuning in
to the talk show. We are talking with Charlie Braxton, historian, musical journalist, whole nine. It's accolades long. But if you'd like to get in conversation, press 1 or dial 718-508-9972.
I have a theory on that. I think what is happening is you got to look at it.
each generation of rapper gets younger and younger, and they're weaned on something that is getting weaker and weaker. Alright?
Oh, yeah.
Look, you look at Biggie, let's say Tupac and Biggie. Okay. They're the people they looked up to was Grandmaster Flash, The Furious Five, Public Enemy, Eric B. and Rakim, X-Clan, etc. They, even though they were the same quote-unquote age bracket, those artists that went before them had set a precedent for them. All right? Now, you look at kids who were listening to Tupac.
Right.
And Biggie. Okay, well, now you got a generation who that's their eye. That's old school for them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you know when a kid says, oh, that's old school, what they're basically saying to you is that's
not relevant.
It's not relevant.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So who they're looking up to is they're looking up to the GGs. They're looking up to, even though Boosie does try, and Boosie primarily tries because CeeLo was his mentor. And Boosie will tell you he's a huge Pac fan. But a lot of people, and I remember a particular reporter by the name of Carlton Wade. I'll put him out there because he's my friend.
What's up, Big T?
He was interviewing Young Jeezy for The Source. And when he told me, I said, he said, well, you know, I said, well, you tell him I said. He said, if you tell him I said, I'm not pleased with what he's doing. And that I think that he's, you know, this whole selling of drugs and there's no social commentary, there's no remorse. And Carlton tried to defend him because Carlton's a huge fan of his.
Right.
And so Carlton's like, well, no, Jeezy got social commentary. I said the closest thing I've heard him do on social commentary
My president is black.
But that was, no, this is
and before. He didn't even write
that
it.
That album hadn't even come out yet. We're talking about.
You talking about Come Shot With Me or?
This wasn't Come Shot With Me. This was the Thug Motivation, the first one.
That first one.
So what I told him was, I said, look, you need to tell him that him encouraging kids to sell dope, there's no social commentary, there's no political commentary, you know, which I don't expect, but at least some social commentary. He never talks about what it's like to sell drugs to a pregnant mother.
Mm-hmm.
He never talked about what it's like to walk up and sell drugs to somebody who might be your relative.
Right.
You know, and how that feels. You're destroying the community. He never talked about that.
You know, Charlie, this one thing I want to ask Alan this too, and I want to ask both of you guys and to the listeners on the line, if you want to call in and comment on this question right here, please do. But what are some of the consequences and penalties for speaking your mind in today's music? Because it seems like even with our sports athletes, when they spoke upon the Trayvon Martin thing, they shut them down.
They lost their money.
When they spoke about certain issues, they get shut down. So what are some of the consequences these guys are facing if they do decide to step up and say, hey, man, I don't care what you're talking about. I'm going to go ahead and speak my mind because this is affecting my community.
Okay, but here's the thing. There may be some kind of, I'm not going to sit there and say they're not because – let's go back to this letter. How many of you all know there was a Willie Lynch-like letter going around on the internet about the music industry, where this particular person who didn't name his name didn't put his name on the letter. It was another.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, Charlie. Where they had that big meeting.
It's a big meeting with all the major
record
executives who were involved in hip hop. And there was this guy, he said, that was there, right, who obviously wasn't involved in the music business, but he called him, he was in charge. And he told them, and this was in the 90s, he told them, listen, the people who own the record companies that are your parent companies have decided to invest a lot of money in the private prison industry. And the guy was like, okay, well, what's they got to do with us? He said, well, we want you to start signing acts, promoting acts that promote criminal behavior among black and Latino youth.
Yep.
Because, and now, the reason why was because they suspected within 10 to 15 years it would increase the prison population.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy was disgusted by what he heard,
but he didn't say anything publicly about it at the time. And one of my friends said, well, you know, that letter's probably bogus. I said, well, if it is, let's look at the reality.
Yes, look at the timeline.
Let's look at the timeline.
Yes.
Because it was the 90s, the early 90s, by the mid, when things started to change. By the mid to late 90s, you couldn't find a good Public Enemy group being signed or promoted. Public Enemy was fading at that time. Not like they weren't making good music, it was just they weren't being promoted. X-Clan was off the scene.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Coup was taken out. Paris was taken out.
Yeah.
You know, even though they still made music, they weren't being marketed, promoted like Death Row.
Right.
Even Tupac, who started out being somewhat
conscious. Yeah, he was a conscious rapper.
Became even more erratic. And more thugged out and more gangster.
But even with all that we see what happened to those guys, you know, we saw the change. We saw that whole evolution of what happened with hip hop as far as it becoming more oriented towards pushing the prison, you know, like pushing people towards the criminal side of things. Today's artists, they embrace it, they running with it, they are that, but it's a few in there that try to speak out. You can tell on some of their mixtapes they want to say certain things. Because I made a point to Alan Gilmore, just like you were saying
those artists that I thought was going to be the type of artist that was able to speak to the streets as well as say some social commentary. But he got taken out. I don't know for whatever reason, but, you know, he's no longer. One of the things was it was exposed that. Now, this is what I find.
But who was the artist, though, Charlie?
Pardon?
Who was the artist?
Oh, I'm talking about Plies. You know, Plies had records, you know, on his first album and his second album where he was talking about social commentary. Said, you know, what he said, I'm scared to go fed time. You know, where he was talking about how he didn't want to get involved in drugs, so he didn't want to deal with just doing fed time. So he was trying to figure out how to get out of it. You could tell he was trying to figure out how to put a message in and still stay street. What I found interesting was all of a sudden people started bringing up the fact that he went to college, that, you know, he really wasn't a thug, and slowly but surely he sort of faded into the background.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know whether or not these rumors that he went to college. He never denied that. He didn't emphasize it when he came out, which I wished he would have. But, you know, given the current climate that hip-hop is in, it's not cool to be smart. It's not cool to be educated.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Although you'd be surprised at the number of rappers who are educated. Trinidad
is
college educated.
Yeah.
You know
what
I'm saying?
It just seems like, though, Charlie, there's so many artists out there that just, you know, they have to fall in line, or, you know, they'll lose their deal. That's why I was asking about the consequences.
Well, I mean, I was looking at that from that aspect. I think that if you're independent and you build an art, here's the thing. The music industry is greedy. They're greedy. They're about money, okay? And I tell people this all the time. When conscious rap was selling, it wasn't that the record companies believed in what X-Clan was saying.
No, it was making money at that time.
It was popular and it was making money.
Yeah, exactly.
And so
right.
they did not want to be left in the cold on the money making.
True that. Charlie, hold 1 second. We had a call that's been holding for a long period of time right here. We're going to bring in our man Biz from Texas out there in Dallas, Big D Town. What's happening, Biz?
Well, how y'all guys doing, man? Alan KG, Mr. Black, how you
on,
doing,
man?
Pretty good,
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing pretty good. I just want to speak a little bit about it, but not even in rap music, but anything that goes against the foundation that the powers that be have built up. Like, people have to apologize. It's like anything that goes against, like, everything now, they want to be negative. And if anything out there, anybody speaking on positive stuff or anything, or how they really feel, freedom of speech, they have to apologize. And, like, you'll see it every day in the news. Like, if you go against anything that's negative out there now and speak your mind about it, you have to apologize and you have to, like, make a statement.
Boy, don't say nothing anti-Semitic, but they going in on you.
Right. Like, I don't understand.
Here's the thing. People make anti-black statements all the time.
That's
true. The thing is, you know, the Jewish community is doing what they're supposed to do. If you say something bad about the Jewish community, they're going to let you know, there's consequences. There are consequences. My problem is, okay, there were no consequences when their sister Chantal was speaking on the stand, trying to tell her story of witness what she witnessed, and there were people all over the internet talking about her diction, her color, her calling her all kinds. The juror even, I'm like, wow. The juror was like, well, she didn't seem credible because I couldn't understand her.
They would have felt the same way about old Dirty Bassett if they would have heard him. But guess what? I understood.
I understood her. I mean, I watched her. But here's the thing. People are saying these things and getting away with it because they know there'll be no repercussions from the black community.
And that's true. You know, just like Biz was stating, Biz, if you could take your phone off speakerphone or turn your speakers down because we're hearing ourselves in that, so we'll bring you right back in. Our artists, our athletes, our R&B artists, our politicians, people do not have the voice to speak up and say what they need to say. A lot of times you got the opportunity, especially like with our president. I don't care for the dude like that no more. I'm going to be honest with you, but...
He had many opportunities
to say a lot of things that he don't say. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There are people in the communities that are figureheads of that community. They're not taking the chance to say. And they're also the preachers.
Right.
I don't mean standing up until it's a photo op. They're not standing up until it's a photo op. But, you know, the most powerful thing in our community as we speak today is our artistry, our artists. A lot of times we look to them for inspiration, not just our rappers, but our R&B singers. Like back in the day, Marvin Gaye, What's Going On?
What did we do?
We listen to What's Going On to say something to our soul, say something to us. But like nowadays, where is our What's Going On? Where is our...
I think that music is
We Are the World.
Yeah.
I think it's being made. Have you heard this sister, Sarah Barth? I think her name is Sarah Barth or... she has a song called Hell Yeah, We Just Trying to Get By, But the Devil's All in My Face.
Please send me that link, because there's a lot of stuff I'm not privy to, you know.
But if you listen to it, here's the thing. What's happening is soul music, conscious music is being marketed into a niche, a small niche of people who are those unconscious people. They do that positive stuff. So it's not being broadcast widely. You understand what I'm saying? It's not being broadcast widely.
Charlotte, not to cut you off, but since you just said that, Talib Kweli did an interview with the Breakfast Club on Power 105 a couple of weeks ago, and he mentioned that. He said that his music has been put into the realm of conscious rap. They categorize him as a conscious rapper, and Talib Kweli was like, I'm not in the category. I do music in general. This is me, you know. But they categorize my music as being conscious rap.
Which is why
he said that he don't know if the label.
And
he was saying that he didn't know whether or not the label was really going to promote it like that, or whether or not, you know, he was actually going to get any records on the radio up at Power 105. Like, he actually said that. And, you know, he was like, he could care less if he does get radio play or not. He's going to get his music out there any type of way. But he said people have always put him in that category because of, you know, when he went solo after him and Mos Def, you know, took their solo path, whatever, they immediately put him into that box, into that niche.
So
which is why a lot of rappers
are now trying
to avoid that category because they think it's a death knell. With that being said, would we
blame the artists, or should we just blame the labels and the PDs and all those people that's kind of categorizing these guys so we can't...
I think there's blame to go around all around, including
for everybody. Exactly.
There's enough blame for everybody in this case.
Yeah.
I mean,
I can't tell you how many kids or people I know, grown ups, say, I don't listen to that positive rap. I don't listen to that positive music. Why? So if you're saying you don't like, you're acknowledging there's a certain thing as positive music that you don't listen to, then the only, the opposite of positive is negative.
Most definitely.
So
something
what
wrong
does that
with them. Something is
so
wrong
you,
with them as a person.
Yeah.
Something wrong with their life.
But I contend that they've been programmed to be that way.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I,
exactly,
I
because
agree.
Of what's been put in front of them. I mean, it's,
exactly.
It's
exactly.
What's been put in front of them.
There's this thing called the golden age of hip-hop, which is circa like 1987 through 92, I call it. Some people go by 88 to 91 or 90. I say it's around the mid-80s to the mid-90s.
Yeah, 94, 95.
Well, there was a variety of rap music.
Yeah.
You know, where
yes.
I could listen to Arrested Development, I could listen to Public Enemy, I could listen to N.W.A., I could listen to Ice Cube, I can listen to a variety of music talking about a variety of subjects.
Things. That's right.
And a variety of musical styles. You know, you had Beautiful Planet. You know, people were coming with different styles. I remember
they infused jazz into
jazz,
it. They infused a little,
all kinds of
little everything into it, man.
Everything. I remember when, you know, when I heard in a video block, and these are all new artists. The Boogie Monsters, who were Christian rappers, most people didn't know that, but they were Christian rappers.
Mm-hmm.
I heard The Roots, Distortion and Static, and then I heard Bone Thugs and Harmony, Thuggish, Ruggish, Bone. Two, three completely different styles of music. You don't even get cats trying to invent new styles, lyrical styles, new flows. You don't even get that anymore.
Right.
Everybody's trying to sound the same. Everybody's trying to dumb their music down.
And the thing of it is, Charlie, just like some Trooper the Don said it earlier, Blaze said it earlier, Al said it earlier, they're trying to get to their end goal, which is the radio. If you want to mute yourself, you're going to mute yourself to get to the radio, and then you're still not saying nothing at the same time. But, Charlie, we got another caller that definitely want to make a comment. And we appreciate you for your time tonight, brother, because we're about to wrap it down in a few minutes. And thank you for all the knowledge that you gave in, man.
No problem. I appreciate you all for doing this. This is a very important forum. We need to have these forums more often.
Most definitely, man.
So
thank you very much.
All right.
Hey, Biz, man, did you have anything else you want to add on to that before we bring in this next caller?
No, I think y'all got it all in there.
Okay, man. You be careful out there in Dallas, man.
I'm gonna hold on.
All right. We're gonna bring in our man Fat Baby, man. Griffin GA Finest, baby. What's happening?
That was good, homie.
Not much, man. What are your thoughts on this, man?
Well, like I'm just chiming in, right? You know, I'm just picking up like the ass end of the conversation, and you know, we talking about like the golden age of hip hop, or you know what I mean, like how the artists, you know what I'm saying, like get labeled in the conscious rap and everything like that right there. And I really think like right now, you know, as far as the youth go, look at is all the music I'm hearing, like especially down here, what's been playing on the radio. It ain't number drug influenced music. You know what I'm saying? It's that
mm-hmm.
Molly music, it's that XP music. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's that surf music, you know what I mean?
Right.
And like a lot of my favorite rappers, you know what I mean? Like just say like when the new Jay-Z and Kanye shit had dropped that time.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all folks like, that shit too lyrical. You know what I'm saying? You know, and I'm like, damn, ain't that what being a rapper about? You know what I'm saying? Being lyrical, you know, me being an artist myself. You know what I mean? When I was coming up, you know what I'm saying? I used to have a job cast. That was the thing you had to be. You had to be lyrical. You know what I'm saying? I strive to be the best lyricist. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
I strive to put some substance in the music I was doing that actually makes you sit down and think. And that's what's going on right now, man. You know, the youth, they ain't got time to sit down and think. You know what I'm saying? Look at them, one of the number one songs. I ain't worried about nothing. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
At home, I don't even think you sit a whole 16 in there. I don't think I know. I ain't worried about nothing. Nigga, I ain't worried about nothing. And that's what's going on right now, man. You know? And I put some blame on the labels because they signed niggas strictly off singles. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
all these rappers that's out now, man, these are mixtape artists, man. You know what I'm saying? About 15 years ago, man, these niggas wouldn't seen the light of day. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Straight up, that shit was just straight garbage. You know what I mean?
And since you mentioned, you know, that song, Fat Baby, not to cut you off, but when Fresh Montana album came out, Fresh Montana had a look on his face when he saw his album sales that was priceless. Because Puffy really, you know, like he really amped him up thinking that he's going to sell, you know, 300,000 copies first week. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Nah, Puff. You know that stuff was whack and trash.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You know,
but you put
all that. Hey, man, I do truly feel that it's up to us to let everybody, you know, we got to get away from this whole aspect of thinking that if we tell somebody we don't like something like that, don't take it so personal. You know what I'm saying? You got to let somebody know, this is not hot, man.
Yeah. And see, that's the thing about it. And the radio, I'm like, man, like I said, I can't even listen to Atlanta radio no more, man, because it's like the shit is sickening to me. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of artists, you know what I mean, that's out here, man, that's actually putting out some good music, some good substance, you know what I mean? Like, all right, I understand, you know, every now and then, you know, for the club and shit, you know, you gotta have that ignorance sometimes. You know what I mean? But not all the time.
Place
I can't.
And time for everything.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying? There was a time even with radio, man, we appreciate you for your calls and thoughts tonight, man, we're gonna let it wrap everything up, man. But you know, there was a time and a place, man, there was a time back in the day where you couldn't even hear certain records before 10 p.m.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Now it's all day, 24/7. I ain't worried about nothing.
Yeah.
I remember riding home from work, and this is just a random day I finally listened to the radio. As soon as I turned it on, this song called Who Booty Is It? I was like, it's 4:30. You know what I'm saying? And they playing this type of music at 4:30. You know, the kids I work with, they are, you know, bumping this, blasting this. I go to my sister's house, she bumping it. I'm like, what is that?
Man, I'm listening to damn Lil Wayne, Rich as Fuck. And they don't have to edit this shit so much that Lil Wayne got five words out. You know what I'm saying?
I'm telling
I like to throw it up when I heard that Versace shit. You know what I'm saying? I like, man, I'm from the hood, man. I don't know nothing about no Versace. You know what I'm saying? Give me something I can relate to, homie.
Give me some regular Wranglers.
Yeah, I woke up in a new Bugatti. You know what I mean? Come on, man. I woke up in the house with no lights on. You know what I'm saying?
I feel you.
Right.
Hey, man, we're going to get with you soon, too, man. I'm going to have to touch base with you, man. I appreciate you for calling in and sharing your thoughts with us tonight, man.
Man, most definitely, man. Appreciate y'all, man, what y'all doing, man. Most definitely.
All right, man. Appreciate it. All right. All right, man. What we're going to do before this show ends, man, we're about to bring our man Blaze in to talk about this program him and Nation got together, man, with the kids out there. Blaze, what's up, man? Tell everybody how they can win that money.
All right, basically what me and Nation are doing, man, just back to school for a lot of, you know, parents and whatnot, just kind of help them out to get back to the community. If you go to nationsaidit.com, NationSaidIt.com, and go to the contest tab, all thing you got to do is enter in your email address, and you're right then and there, you're qualified for it. And what we'll do is August 1st, we're going to have a drawing. And actually, I'm going to call in. Actually, I'll have y'all do it. I'm going to tell y'all a list of names, and whoever names that y'all select, that's who wins the competition. So basically what we need everybody to do is just really tune in to the Middleman Show every Thursday. Go to nationsaidit.com, enter, listen, and support what we're doing, because there's a lot of good things going on in the community for everybody to basically, you know, be a part of.
All right.
Give them the website, give them any information they need as far as phone numbers, anything like that.
Everything's on the website, nationsaidit.com. You can go to contacts. You can get my email address, my number, his email address. Everything in the world is on the website, nationsaidit.com. Nationsaidit.com.
And if you can do us a favor, man, go over to our Middleman, the Middleman Talk Show page on Facebook. We definitely going to, if you can post that up over there, we definitely going to make sure that you guys can be aware of this thing, man. It's a great thing these brothers are doing. You know, it's outside the box of what a lot of these guys doing out here, throwing bottles and popping bottles and throwing hundreds out there. You know, that's crazy.
Yeah,
but
man,
this right here, it has a purpose.
You got to do something. It's a point of time, like we talked last week about the whole Trayvon Martin thing. It's just a point of time to stop talking and somebody step up and do something.
And be proactive. That's right.
Be proactive. Be proactive. Right. That's all it's about.
Most definitely. If you see any petitions out there, you know what I'm saying, moveon.move.org or whatever the case may be, sign up for them. Get active. It don't take nothing but a second.
Be a part of the community. Be a part of the community, man. But once again, Kevin, Al, man, y'all doing a wonderful thing, man. I listen to y'all every Thursday. Obviously, I call in so much. Y'all had to put me on the show after a while as a host. But we'll talk about that later. But Japan, y'all have a great evening. Everybody listen, man. Continue on to support the Middleman Show. And make sure y'all check out nationsteady.com and sign up for the sweepstakes for $250 for your kids for back to school.
Most definitely.
All right.
Y'all want that money? Make sure y'all go to NationSaidIt.com. Al, this has been a great show, man. I appreciate everybody that took the time to listen. Also, as he speak upon the show last week, man, y'all make sure y'all go check out the show. It's The Verdict. You know what I'm saying, dealing with the Trayvon Martin case, George Zimmerman case. Man, it was a very powerful show, man. We had a lot of people to come through and vent and express themselves and get all that energy out there, man. We're going to continue another mode of that show this upcoming Sunday at 6 p.m. We will be talking about the vilification of the black man, part two. We do have that in our archives. Make sure you guys go back and check out all of our archives. Great shows that we had before. Man, we appreciate everybody for supporting us. Thank each and every one of you guys. We are the Middlemen. And today, man, we're going to leave you guys with this right here. This young man supported us. We supported him. I think this is a good record right here, man. Y'all check it out. Y'all know who it is when you hear it. If you don't, he'll tell you who it is. You're listening to The Middleman on Talk of the Town. This is Blog Talk Radio, Middleman Radio. It's going down.
And they and all once told me you could determine the worth of a song within 15 seconds of it playing, with complete and utter lack of the fact that it takes all 3 minutes and 40 seconds of a song to comprehend what I'm saying. It ain't a single if it don't fly. It ain't a hit if it don't ride. Now you couldn't tell me the components of a smash, but their ringtones were the all-time high. And a rapper's only as big as a chain. A flash of the bell. They say that money made the world go round. You never lost till you lose your crown. And they don't love you till you're underground. Or when you're maxing out your bank account. Yeah, you do it all just to live the life. Even if it means you don't live it right. And even if it means you don't survive the night. But even if you do, you won't survive the hype of American rappers. Push to the limit. Why? Just to get a buy, we'll woo it, grand kitty. Ride around town like I never lived in it. Gun in my dash, pray I never kill with it. I'm that real with it, got my eyes on the prize. Be a steel dude, mother 9 up 5. Searching for a freak, down the up once or twice. Wanna buy a bottle, but I ain't paid my tithe. There's no lie, got a vision and a master plan. To hit the block and blow up like the Taliban. I make it where my plane never have the lands. I make it where them lames never stand a chance. Shit, you never know, only time will tell. It's either starve or you find a skill. You either buying or you trying to sell. You either fall or you grind the rails. They say that money made the world go round. You never lost till you lose your crown. And they don't love you till you're underground. Or when you're maxing out your bank account. Yeah, you do it all just to live the life. Even if it means you don't live it right. And even if it means you don't survive the night. But even if you do, you won't survive the hype. Over mirror, watch out, get it how I live. Waiting on my mama scream, yet I help me feel. Dodging jail cells in them pig down the kill. They shot off the grants where it gave a nigga the shield. Just keep it real, if you ain't looking, then your eyes close. Will I pay what I owe? Only God knows. I ain't for show, give me shrimp just to change what I can't. And understand the deal between a nigga and the king that I am. Gotta keep your finger on the trigger. Pac died, Biggie died, they ain't found a killer. Watch, mama say she worried cause I rap about the government and how the church caked up with people out just struggling.
That's real though.
I just call it how it is, folk. I'm breathing for a reason, what you here for? They got us with the villains who would cheer for. Cause they murdered all the heroes. They say that money made the world go round. You never lost till you lose your crown. And they don't love you till you're underground. But when you're maxing out your bank account, yeah, you do it all just to live the life. Even if it means you don't live it right. And even if it means you don't survive the night. But even if you do, you won't survive the hype of American rap stuff.
that was Big Crit right there, American Rap Star, man. I'm telling you now, that song right there, it basically kind of summed up what we were talking about tonight. You know, your records are either going to have some substance to them or you're just going to be doing records, man. Don't waste your time talking about nothing, man. Have something to say. And if you don't want to talk about something, don't say nothing. You did listen to the Middleman Talk Show tonight. Make sure you spread this show out. Share it with your friends. It'll be available for download the next few minutes or so. Download it, put it on your iPod, your Android, whatever the case may be. Man, we appreciate each and every one of y'all, and we are out. Make sure you come back and check us out this Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern, The Vilification of the Black Man, Part 2. Appreciate you.
Yeah. Spell 5, Middleman. Yeah. Spell 5. Oh, follow me at Fell 5 on Twitter. It's the talk of the town, man. It's so ill. We talking real news in the music business here. State your opinion in the chat or you can call in. Hey, they be going in. Yeah, they be going in. On them gas in the industry. Doing more things most gas don't see. Keep your ears to the ground and you will see. Most things ain't what they appear to be. Cut to the chase and the real McCoy. Telling you that they ain't gonna toy around with no issues. Shedding light on dark signals. Yes, and now they own.